And then come round to the beginning of 1950, and I had still some leave to come. It was what they called end of war leave. At the end of the war, they allocated 4 weeks extra leave to all those regulars who ran, you know, to make up for what you'd missed. And you had to apply for this. Well, I had still got 14 days end of war leave. This was 1950. So I arranged to have my end of war leave and my Easter leave. Immediately, Edna went into hospital, into labour. She was expecting then. Lo and behold, the Navy had different ideas. About 2 weeks before the Easter came up, I had a draft, a foreign one. They gave me a week's leave, sent me home for a week. I went back and joined the HMS Gambia and sailed straight out to the Mediterranean, beginning of April 1950. And on April the 25th, 1950, my daughter was born. So I then did, and the HMS Gambia, we were carrying on a normal peacetime activities in the Mediterranean. I was involved in all sorts of activities. We were flagship with the cruiser squadron. Lord Van Batten was out there at that time. We visited just about every port there is in the Mediterranean and involved in activities. Then the problems occurred up in the Persian Gulf. We spent two sessions up the Persian Gulf with the Mediterranean fleet, but we were guard ship up the Gulf. We were in the Suez Canal in 1951 when the first troubles arose in Suez. And eventually we ended up in the Indian Ocean when the present Queen and Philip were in Kenya ready to fly off to Australia. We were detailed to escort the Britannia from it's across the Indian Ocean to Singapore. So we were in Bombay at the time, and that was when the old king died. So the Queen, she never went on that trip. She flew, as history knows, she flew home from Kenya. We ended up by going down to Goa. We were in there when the old king's funeral. Then we went on to Trincomalee. We were a Mediterranean fleet, remember, with our people, had wives and families in Malta, but we were in Trincomalee. And then from there, we went up to Rangoon. Again, Mediterranean fleet was another job we were given out. What I don't know, whether it was just a good way of visit or. And eventually we came back into the Mediterranean. From there, having spent 3 or 4 months cruising around the Indian Ocean, and we were a Mediterranean fleet with wives and families still in Malta. So there was quite a lot going on in the Mediterranean. We were involved in two fleet regattas, which were very good because we had a crew which had been together a long time. I think I've got 4 or 6 silver oars upstairs for rowing in various teams, and I always used to get involved. And I never believed in asking anybody to do anything that I couldn't do. So I was prepared to row, and I also coxswain crew, so I had a good response. And we were out there in the Mediterranean, saying eventually we came home in July the 31st, 1952. So that was my time on HMS Gambia.
You hadn't seen your daughter in all those
years? I hadn't seen my daughter then. She was 2 or 3 months old when she walked up again in the ship for the first time. We came back into Plymouth, and we had 8 weeks leave to Gambia. We had a very happy bunch. We were lucky in some respects that because of the numbers of people, the petty officer's mess became too big, and for numbers, because of the number of technical people and whatever that, and decided to make another PO's mess in what had been originally the aircraft hangar. And we moved into there as the electricians, the shipwrights, the joiners, all with the people with the technical know-how and the ability. And we made that our home. We had a painter. With a chap, he couldn't mix 2 pots of white paint the same colour, but he could paint a beautiful mural on the wall. He used to get called into Malta to do all his scenery for the CNC's wife's shows and everything. But so we made that home, and we were because we were a mixed bunch. We all had something to offer. We made a fireplace, our own. Somebody got some impressive timber fireproofed and put it all around it. And made the electric fire that went into it, and you know, we did things. We painted and decorated. We were POs, but we did it ourselves and made it our home, if you like, because we knew we'd got to put up with it for two years, and we did do it. And I think that made for a happy mixed bunch. We were, you know, because we were, our jobs never clashed outside, except for one or two of us who were of the same disciplines, but we didn't clash with anybody. I think that was, could probably be said that the Gambier was probably my happy ship, and the context that I've still got is on that ship. A memorable sight I remember was in Bazerta in North Africa when I was on the Gambier. And of course, traditionally the services do this beating of the feet in the evening, you know, with the evening hymn and all the flags. And they invited all the local dignitaries from Bazerta there. And just before the result, up drove came a camel corps with on their camels, all on the jetty right alongside the ship, all riding on these, I think they were on the dromedaries, the ones with one hump. They were all dressed up, fully dressed, and these were part of the camel corps. They'd all turned up for this ceremony, and there was our old marines splashing up and down, massing up and down on the jetty, and there was this really colourful floodlight. It was dark in the evening, it was all that we've got floodlights on the ship. Really colourful to see all these dozen or more of the camel corps in there. And particularly, of course, the regattas were always big things. When they had the fleet regatta in the training, when we had a regatta there on the Gambier. It's only time in the Navy that they allowed gambling. And they were in a tote. They have a tote throughout the fleet. It's usually run on the flagship. And you can bet on the various crews. We'd had some good crews because we'd been together a long time, you know. And I also remember the last one we had, Lord Mountbatten was CNC in the Mediterranean. And the Admiral of the Cruisers was on the Gambier. He'd promised us, all the winning crews, he promised them a black velvet at the end of the race. He had a bottle of champagne and Guinness and champagne for the winning crews. And this was the second year, we had the first year of it, so we had some really good crews. He said, traditionally, the trophies were always awarded on the ship that won the regatta, in other words, the one with the most points. So he invited, the day before the race, he invited Lady Mountbatten to come aboard the Gambier to present the trophies. So Lord Mountbatten said, "You can't do that. That's to be on the ship that wins the regatta." He said, "That's right, the Gambier's got to win the regatta." So I don't know whether they had a private bet on or not in between that. But anyhow, I was the stroke oar of one crew, the PO's crew. I was the stroke oar of the ship's racing whales crew, and I was coxswain of the electrician's crew. I'd got them very good because they could see me and they would do exactly what I wanted to do. Anyhow, I won all three of these. I don't know how many champagnes. Unfortunately, it was spread over 2 days. And of course, all the lads were putting their money on the tote on us. So, of course, as well as the champagne, there was tots of rum floating everywhere, you know. And anyhow, Lady Mountbatten came aboard the next day to present the trophies. I've got one or two pictures there of her presenting the trophies to us. And of course, the Admiral was on us. We had been previously a captain of the Gambier a lot of years before. We were jumping up and down every time we won. I don't know whether he'd had a private bet with Mountbatten. And the thing was that that evening we were in a place called Argostoli, which is a Greek, Western Greek island. What they used to do when the fleet went for regatta, you moved in and they took a big landing craft and you had made your own canteen ashore, put marquees up and all the beer and everything else in there, you see. And I also remember this night that all of those POs went ashore, and because they rolled me up, I'd been rolling and that also sort of run, so they put me down the tent. And then they had a system in the POs, and I said to them, president of the mess said something, everybody had to obey what he said. This was a rule he got when they were drinking, you know, the sergeant, typical sergeant. He said, "Right, all of you, fall in outside, 3D. And there was a ramp down into the sea. And he got them all up, all just in their shorts and everything else, you know, to the top of you. And he said, "Right, left turn, quick march." And he matched them in until they were up to here, half to a foot, and then about turned and matched them back, you know. But he said, "That's all right, you're all right, you know, I was excused, I think, because these were some of the activities." But those regattas were great things. It was just after that that we came back from the med to home. And of course, traditionally, the ship that won the regatta was called the Cock of the Fleet. So a group of our people made this cock about 6 or 8 foot high, stuffed it in a great big thing, and had it on the 8 hours. We went back into Malta before we came home. We had this cock up there, and the bands were playing. Of course, we came in as the cock of the fleet, and we won again. And we did the same thing when we came into Plymouth, with all our trophies and the cock. We were the cock of the fleet. We, you know, we'd beaten them all. But this was another highlight of our days, you know.